Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is the Alternative View X on Blog Talk Radio. This is Mike, a.k.a. Max. And it's been a while since I've actually done a show. I've just been busy. So thank you for your patience. And those who have listened to my show in the past, you're welcome to share this show on your social media if you want, and invite other people to join and to listen in. Today's show is a 15-minute show. It's on the Book of Esther. I titled this program The Book of Esther Selective Commentary, and this is the Alternative UX on Blog Talk Radio. This is Mike, a.k.a. Max. And in this episode, I will read from the Book of Esther, selected scriptures, and give a commentary and application to my life and the lives of God's people. I will try to give a summary of the book and how it applies to our lives now. I will try to capture the biblical lessons found in this book and how we can trust the Lord despite hard circumstances. So with that said, let's get into a brief sort of synopsis of what the Book of Esther is actually all about. Just reading here from the internet here, it says that Esther is mentioned more times in the Bible than any other woman. I don't know if that's true. You can check that for yourself or just do some facts checking here, maybe not on this show, but the background of the Book of Esther. The story of Esther takes place in the Persian Empire during the reign of Ahasuerus or something, known more familiar to us by the Greek form of his name, Xerxes. He was the son of Darius the Great and reigned from 486 to 465 BC. He ruled over a vast empire that extended from India to Ethiopia, Esther 1:1. Esther was a descendant of the tribe of Benjamin, which had been part of the kingdom of Judah. Her ancestors were among the Jews who had been carried captive to Babylon nearly 100 years earlier. There were many Jews who didn't return to Jerusalem when it became possible, preferring to continue living where they had settled around the Persian Empire. After the death of Esther's parents, she was raised by Mordecai, an older cousin, Esther 2:7, who served in the Persian ruler's palace. The author of the Book of Esther is unknown, though some attribute the work to Mordecai. The popularity of the story of Esther is great. If you can just, there's a description in the Five Megaloth, which is a Jewish commentary published by Sonico Press. Esther is among the generality of Jews, the best known of all the books of the Bible. So talking about the popularity of the Book of Esther, the summary of the story. Chapter 1 sets the scene in the Persian court. The king was offended when his wife Vashti refused to appear before him when he ordered her to do so. There was a great feast taking place at the time, and they were all merry with wine. Esther 1:11. When the queen didn't appear, the king, edged on by his advisors, removed her as his queen. They then advised him to seek out a new queen by searching for the most beautiful virgins in the land. The king would select one to become his queen. Chapter 2 introduces the woman taken from this competition, a beautiful Jewish girl named Hadassah. Her name was changed to Esther when she was brought to the king's court. Esther received favor from everyone who saw her, especially the king. Verses 15 and 17, the king selected Esther to be his new queen, but Mordecai counseled her not to reveal the fact that she was a Jew, because Jews were still held in some suspicion throughout the Persian Empire. Shortly after she became queen, a seemingly unrelated incident is recorded in Esther 2:21-23. Two men plotted to kill the king, but Mordecai became aware of the plot and had Esther reveal it to the king. The two men were hanged, and the incident was recorded in the king's personal history. This incident turns out to have a great deal to do with the rest of the story. Chapter 3 introduces us to Haman, who is the villain in the story, who became second in command in the empire. He demanded everyone to bow down to him. Everyone did except Mordecai. and this incensed Haman, which he succeeded in getting the king to issue an edict that all the Jews in the land should be destroyed, verses 8 to 15. In chapter 4, Mordecai implored Esther to intervene on behalf of her people, or they would all be killed. Esther reminded Mordecai that anyone who came before the king without being called, even the queen, would be subject to death. Only the exception to this would be if the king extended mercy by holding out the golden scepter. Mordecai then uttered the most famous line from the book when he said, "For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Esther then agreed to risk her life for her people. She asked Mordecai to have her people fast for her success. She put her life on the line by going to the king for help. Chapter 5 tells us that the king not only held out the golden scepter to save her life, he also said that he would grant anything she asked of him, even to half the kingdom. She invited the king and Haman to a banquet that day. At that banquet, she told the king that she would inform him of her desire at another banquet the next day. And she again asked that Haman should be invited to hear her request. Chapter 6 brings back to our attention the incident of the conspiracy to kill the king in chapter 2. The king was unable to sleep that night and asked for his story to be read to him. It seems he just happened to hear the part about the plot to take his life and how Mordecai had saved his life. He asked what had been done to reward Mordecai. His servants replied that nothing had been done. Who should be outside waiting to see the king that morning but evil Haman, who was plotting to kill Mordecai? So when the king called Haman to come in, the two men had totally opposite plans in mind. The king also asked Haman what should be done to someone the king wanted to honor. Of course, in his pride, Haman thought the king was talking about him. So he said that such a person should be treated like royalty and honored by a high official announcing. Thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delights to honor. Verse 9. Imagine Haman's surprise when the king assigned him to honor his arch-enemy Mordecai, verses 10 to 12. Chapter 7 recounts the events of the second banquet that Esther had requested, where she would make known what she wanted from the king. She revealed the plot to destroy her and her people, then dramatically named the mastermind the wicked Haman. The king was so shocked and incensed by this turn of events that he had to leave the room to calm down. But when he returned, he saw Haman had fallen across the couch where Esther was, pleading with her to spare his life, verses 7 to 8. The king accused Haman of trying to assault his wife, the queen, and he ordered Haman to be hanged on the very gallows that Haman had built to kill Mordecai, verse 10. Chapters 8 through 10 recount the rejoicing of the Jews for their deliverance and their celebration that was set on the 14th day of the month, Adar, to commemorate this great event. It has been celebrated by the Jews ever since as a day of deliverance and is known as the Feast of Purim. Purim delivers its name from the word pur, meaning lot, as in the casting of lots. Haman has had cast lots to find the best day to destroy the Jews. There are lessons. So let's. The Book of Esther may not have been God's. The Book of Esther may not have God's name stated directly, but his involvement is felt in many ways throughout the story, especially when Esther implored the people to seek help through fasting. Students of the Bible know that fasting was done to draw closer to God and was accompanied by heartfelt prayers. Esther's is clearly a story of God's intervention and deliverance. Esther is also an inspiring story about a remarkable woman who was willing to risk her life to save her people. She was a woman of principle who was willing to put the lives of others ahead of even her own life. She was an outstanding example of serving others under the most stressful circumstances. Jesus Christ said, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." Most of the time, our lives may be pretty routine, but all of us have a few defining moments when we may be called on to put godly principles. Okay, so I'm just reading here from something that I found on the internet in response to what I wanted to talk about today. It's about the book of Esther. And so if I go back into what I wanted to talk about today, I wanted to read from the book of Esther, selected scriptures, and give a commentary and application to my life and the lives of God's people. I wanted to try to give a summary of the book and how it applies to our lives now. I wanted to try to capture the biblical lessons found in this book and how we can trust the Lord despite hard circumstances. So the book of Esther, if you have a Bible, is found after Nehemiah. The book of Esther is, I'm just reading through, there are 10 chapters in the book of Esther. I'm just going to read from chapter 9 just briefly, so we can get the word of God into this program here. Now in the 12th month, this is Esther chapter 9. Now in the 12th month, that is the month of Adar, on the 13th day, the time came for the king's command and his decree to be executed. On the day that the enemies of the Jews had hoped to overpower them, the opposite occurred, in that the Jews themselves overpowered those who hated them. The Jews gathered together in their cities throughout all the provinces of King Ahasuerus to lay hands on those who sought their harm, and no one could withstand them because fear of them fell upon all people. And all the officials of the provinces and satraps and governors and all those doing the king's work helped the Jews because the fear of Mordecai fell upon them. For Mordecai was great in the king's palace, and his fame spread throughout all the provinces. For this man Mordecai became increasingly prominent. Thus the Jews defeated all their enemies with the stroke of the sword, with slaughter and destruction, and did what they pleased with those who hated them. And in Shushan, the citadel, the Jews killed and destroyed 500 men. Also Parshandantha, Dalphon, Aspatha, Portha, Adala, Adritha, it's given, and then we Parmasha, Arisai, I may not be pronouncing these right, Aridai, and Vajizatha. The 10 sons of Haman, the sons of Hamadatha, the enemy of the Jews, they killed, but they did not lay a hand on the plunder. On that day, the number of those who were killed in Shushan, the citadel, was brought to the king. And the king said to Queen Esther, "The Jews have killed and destroyed 500 men in Shushan, the citadel, and 10 sons of Haman. What have they done in the rest of the king's provinces? Now what is your petition? It shall be granted to you, or what is your further request? It shall be done." Then Esther said, "If it pleases the king, let it be granted to the Jews who are in Shushan to do again tomorrow, according to today's decree, let Haman's 10 sons be hanged on the gallows." So the king commanded this to be done. The decree was issued in Shushan, and they hanged Haman's 10 sons. And the Jews who were in Shushan gathered together again on the 14th day of the month of Adar, and killed 300 men at Shushan, but they did not lay a hand on the plunder. The remainder of the Jews in the king's provinces gathered together and protected their lives, had rest from their enemies, and killed 75,000 of their enemies, but they did not lay a hand on the plunder. This was on the 13th day of the month of Adar, and on the 14th of the month they rested and made it a day of fasting and gladness. But the Jews who were at Shushan assembled together on the 13th day, as well as on the 14th and on the 15th of the month. They rested and made it a day of fasting and gladness. Therefore, the Jews of the villages who dwell in the unwalled towns celebrated the 14th day of the month of Adar with gladness and feasting as one holiday, and for sending presents to one another. And Mordecai wrote these things and sent letters to all the Jews near and far, who were all the province of Ahasuerus, to establish among them they should celebrate yearly the fort. So then we're just going into a Jewish celebration. We have 16 seconds left to go in the program. I hope I covered a bit of the story of Esther today, and it was only a 50-minute show today, so there was not too much that I could cover. And the way it applies for to our lives today is we can have courage in the strength of our enemies. Thanks for listening. This has been the Alternative UX on Blog Talk Radio.